the White House backs a significant new missile program. A balloon accident in Abu Dhabi has claimed two lives. And ATA comments in favor of limits on oil speculation. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, April 28, 2010. The Obama administration is backing the development of a new generation of missile that could strike anywhere on the planet in an hour or less. Called the PGS system for Prompt Global Strike, it's built around a hypersonic missile that could travel at speeds of up to Mach 5. The current Tomahawk cruise missile flies at about 550 miles an hour. The Times of London reports the White House confirmed that President Obama was considering the deployment of the system. Part of the reasoning cited was that a cruise missile failed to kill Osama bin Laden in 1998 because it was too late arriving at an Al-Qaeda training camp. Bin Laden had left by the time the missile hit its target. The White House has reportedly requested almost $250 million in next year's budget for hypersonic research. AFP News reports two of the 14 people aboard a hot air balloon in Abu Dhabi were killed when the aircraft experienced higher than normal winds and hit the ground on Sunday. The dead are a French national and an Indian national. Several other passengers were injured, one severely. The pilot and 13 passengers lifted off Sunday morning under nearly ideal conditions, but the winds picked up during the flight and the pilot attempted an emergency landing. This is according to a statement from Balloon Adventures Emirates of Dubai. The statement also listed one staff person on the ground as injured. UAE's General Civil Aviation Authority is investigating. The company has suspended operations pending the outcome. This is the first accident in the company's 5 years of operations. ATA, the Air Transport Association, submitted public comments last week to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission in support of a proposed rule on speculative position limits for certain energy contracts. The CFTC rule seeks to increase market transparency and reporting requirements. ATA says these measures will provide regulatory support for a return of supply and demand fundamentals in the marketplace and help address high fuel prices and volatility. The three-month public comment period for the measure expired on Monday. ATA President James May noted, quote, "Oil speculators exploit gaps in the regulatory structure to drive up oil prices out of sheer greed. The proposed CFTC rule, particularly if strengthened, would limit excessive speculation and the ability of investment banks and large financial interests to dominate oil markets at the expense of consumers," unquote. Up next on ANN, controllers in Philadelphia are up and running with ADS-B. The FAA wants to get in sync with European standards for turbine design. And NTSB prepares to wrap up the Flight 1549 case. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 28th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA says Philadelphia area controllers now have the capability to use ADS-B in the crowded Northeast Corridor. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt commented, quote, "This new technology is a tremendous leap forward in transforming the current air traffic control system. The operational benefits in Philadelphia extend as far as Washington, D.C. and New York, which has some of the most congested airspace in the world," unquote. Once all airliners are equipped for ADS-B, the FAA says its controllers will be able to reduce separation in the en route environment from the current 5 nautical miles to 3, saving both time and money for the airlines while reducing the carbon footprint. Pilots flying aircraft equipped with ADS-B know precisely where they are and are able to see other properly equipped aircraft as well. Philadelphia is one of 4 key sites that the FAA selected to demonstrate ADS-B services. The others are Houston, Louisville, and Juneau, Alaska, all selected for their unique airspace environments and local needs. ADS-B coverage at Philadelphia extends out 60 nautical miles and to about 10,000 feet. The FAA has proposed that airlines and private aircraft install ADS-B by 2020. The FAA has published an NPRM to solicit comments on the proposed establishment of a uniform rotor overspeed design and test requirement for aircraft engines and turbochargers certificated by the FAA and the European Aviation Safety Agency. The proposed rule would also eliminate the current two differing sets of requirements by working with Europe to adopt whatever the more stringent requirements of either side is now, including establishing one standard requiring rotors to be designed with a burst failure speed that exceeds the certified operating speeds. Comments are due by July 26th. Find out more and a link to the NPRM in the text version of this story, dated April 27th, at aero-news.net. The NTSB will hold a public board meeting Tuesday on its investigation into U.S. Airways Flight 1549, which ditched in the Hudson River near New York City after a low-altitude encounter with a flock of birds. The purpose will be to determine the probable cause and consider proposed recommendations to reduce the likelihood of a recurrence. The meeting will be held in the NTSB's boardroom and conference center in Washington, D.C., Tuesday starting at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. A summary of the board's final report, including probable cause and safety recommendations, will appear on ntsb.gov shortly after the conclusion of the meeting. The entire report will appear on the website several weeks later. Still ahead, a crash survivor sues. The U.S. Air Force sets a record with a 38-ton cargo drop. And she's lived a very full life. She's a DC-3. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 28th. I'm Paul Platt. One of the passengers aboard a Cessna 337A, which went down in a wooded area of New Jersey in 2008, has sued the pilot's estate, as well as the state police, for calling off the search too early. The suit was filed by Jacqueline Brown of Galloway Township in New Jersey. The accident killed the pilot, John Embrolt of Massachusetts, as well as marine scientist Stephen Clausen from Washington State. A fourth person, scientist Juan Carlos Salinas from Mexico City, Mexico, was also injured in the crash. In her lawsuit, Brown says her employer, GeoMarine Incorporated, was, quote, specifically advised that the aircraft was unsafe, unquote. GeoMarine had hired Embrolt and his plane to conduct offshore survey work. The Press of Atlantic City reports that Ms. Brown's team had several squawks with the plane following a flight April 18, 2008, in which there was smoke in the cockpit. There were also problems reported with radio communications. The NTSB gave insufficient fuel and improper in-flight fuel management as the probable causes, with pilot fatigue a contributor. The board also noted that the battery in the ELT was 4 years out of date and that the beacon was still inoperative when a fresh battery was attached during the investigation. That's significant because while several witnesses saw the plane go down, state police had a difficult time locating the accident scene. Authorities called off the search after 2 hours, which the plaintiff says delayed rescue and caused her injuries to worsen. The suit is seeking unspecified damages. Members of the 418th Flight Test Squadron, based at Edwards Air Force Base in California, have set a record for the heaviest single payload ever extracted out of a C-17A T-1 during a flight April 14th over the Yuma Proving Ground in Arizona. A 77,000-pound jumbo drop test vehicle was let go at 25,000 feet. But there was a point to this beyond just setting a new record. The vehicle was used to test the parachutes for NASA's Ares 1 launch vehicle's solid rocket booster. NASA, in conjunction with ATK and the United Space Alliance, is providing a decelerator recovery system for the new five-motor segment SRB, or solid rocket booster. This recoverable SRB, used for Ares 1, is heavier than the one used for the shuttles and requires a larger set of parachutes. Drop tests of 85,000 and 90,000 pounds are scheduled for next year. And finally, over 40 DC-3 and C-47 aircraft, actually one of them a DC-2, are signed up to participate in an impressive formation flight at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh this summer. This historic day has been named the last time because it's likely the last time people from all around the world will have an opportunity to see and hear this large an assembly of these aircraft together. Courtesy Aircraft Sales has announced it will participate with its DC-3, Spirit of Alaska. The goal is to educate people on this important aircraft, once cited by Franklin D. Roosevelt as the aircraft that changed the world. Courtesy is searching for people who have flown or worked on the plane. Like many of the DC-3s still in airworthy condition, the Spirit of Alaska has been reincarnated more than once. She was originally owned by the U.S. Army, starting life in 1945 as a C-47B. The next year, she was delivered to the U.S. Air Force. In March of 1946, she was put in the care of the Reconstruction Finance Corporation to be surplused out. Next, all the military equipment was removed, and she was repainted in civilian colors and sold to a gentleman who wanted to start an airline, but never made it happen. In early 1946, Jack Losey, chief pilot for CBS, bought the plane and had it converted to a company DC-3 by Aero Trades Incorporated on Long Island. CBS sold the plane in 1948 with only 550 hours on it. The DC-3 was then re-registered and flew for Outboard and Marine Manufacturing Company, OMC of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, from December of 66 to March of 77. She was then donated to EAA and used as an executive transport and for scenic rides at Oshkosh. EAA later sold her to Mike Suzuki of California Air Tours in Burbank for use carrying thousands of tourists on trips to the Grand Canyon. In April of 1995, a Part 121 airline, Era Classic Airlines, purchased the plane and renamed her Spirit of Alaska. The hostesses were outfitted in 1940s attire, all the way down to seamed stockings and white gloves. Big band and swing music played while champagne was served. Even 1940s news headlines were read over the PA system. After many Alaskan adventures, in 2003, Spirit of Alaska was sold and currently resides in Rockford, Illinois, with 17,700 hours on the Hobbs. And she still flies regularly. What an interesting life. I wonder if airplanes look forward to class reunions or 75th birthdays. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell talks with Ed Jeska, who retired as an aviation safety inspector in the FAA's Birmingham FISDO, and who says he had all his pilot certificates revoked without just cause and is receiving pro bono legal help to get them back. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.